looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, C-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, MGM Springfield, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
1-1 to Jose Altuve, sent out to center field, and that should be the final piece of business tonight as Andrew Benintendi makes the play. And that does it. Oh, that was Blake Swihart that made the catch. We've been sitting out here in the outfield all day, and I still don't get the angles. Final score tonight, Red Sox beat the Astros 9-3.
That was your final last night. Red Sox in Houston to play the Astros. They win 9-3 in the series finale. They split the four games with Houston in what was, to me, an important four-game series for the Red Sox. They split 2-2 with Houston. So I'll ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, open up the phones right away. Would you please, Jimmy? 617-779-0985. Very simple question to start the show tonight, to start the show this week. Very simple question. The series with the Astros, was it a success? Was it a success? Very simple question. Look at the four games with Houston, and was it a success? So what I'll tell you what I love about this assessment of the Houston series over the last, several hours since the day began, people talking about it. Here's what I love, is that somehow the first two games never happened. It's only the last two. So everybody just takes what the most recent development is, and they say, oh, the Red Sox won the last two, they bounce back. So let me just go back to Saturday first, okay? That performance by David Price, and I say that performance, he was down 3-1, but he kept it there. He retired the last 11 batters, and frankly, I thought Price threw the ball well. To me, that was the takeaway from that game on Saturday. Price was aggressive. He had good velocity. He came inside, and the home run Bregman hit off him to make it 3-1 and give the Astros the 3-run lead, I thought was a pretty good piece of hitting. Was not a bad pitch. The ball was in. Bregman turned on it. Ball went out of the ballpark. They were down 3-1. The last 11 batters David Price faced in that game, he retired them all. Saturday, important win. Maybe the most important win of the season. And I'll go so far as to say that Benintendi's hit might have been the most important hit of the season to this point. I'll grant you all of that. But if you sit here and tell me that the Red Sox won the four-game series against the Astros, that despite the fact that the series was a split, that the Red Sox actually come out of it feeling better about themselves than the Astros might, I just think that that is flat out wrong. If you want to judge the last two games, fine. Judge the last two games. I'm judging the whole four. Sale didn't pitch well. They were behind out of the gate. The game before that, Pomeranz didn't pitch well. They were behind. Saturday, they were behind again, but they did show some spine, specifically Price and Benintendi, and they came back, and they ended up winning the game, and they blew them out last night. Now, the game last night felt a little closer than 9-3. Nonetheless, the Red Sox opened it up in the late innings. They end up beating the Astros pretty handily, and so fine, I give the Red Sox credit for that. But you want me to all of a sudden say that the Red Sox made some sort of statement? That's where I stop. I don't go that far. I stopped there because there was enough that happened in that series that still makes me wonder whether the Red Sox are on the same level as the Astros or, for that matter, even the Yankees. I still wonder it. I don't really feel any different about the Red Sox coming out of that series than I did going in. Saturday excluded. Saturday, I give them a little bit of love. It was a good win.
Why do you downplay last night's game?
Because I think the question with the Red Sox in these games with Houston is going to be in the late innings in tight games. That's why, Murray. So they had a big lead. It never really factored in. Even the game that they won on Saturday, Joe Kelly gave up a run. I mean, again.
But they still did come back. So ultimately, I do think it was a successful weekend. And
you're allowed to. I'm just telling you how I feel.
And I understand that. But I was also a harsh critic of the first couple of games. I sat here Saturday and was bashing them and saying they're not on this team's level. They're not on the level of the Houston Astros. And the way that they won, especially on Saturday, and they looked somewhat dominant last night, like I was, okay, like I can't see how they can leave Houston and not feel better about themselves and feel like they can compete with this team, especially considering they were out without Mookie Betts. And I know it's just for at least one game, but as of right now, they also knock Houston out of first place. So I don't know. I feel like Houston might feel a little bit more vulnerable now, too. Like, I thought those last couple of games, it was huge for them. So, yeah, it was ultimately a success.
Jimmy Stewart, our producer, what about you? If I ask you that question, do you think the weekend was a success? The four games, was it a success?
It was not, because it didn't change my mind about how this team is going to play in October. They didn't make any kind of statement, and they're 2-2 against Houston, and they're 3-3 against the Yankees. So that means it's a pick 'em come October. If they'd come out and swept them or taken 3 out of 4, I would feel differently. I would have felt more confident going into October when it really matters.
Okay, so look, this is semantics a little bit, and I'm going to get to your calls here right away out
That's
of the
what
game.
We do, Maz.
Okay, this is semantics a little bit. I'm not telling you the Red Sox had a bad weekend or that the series was a failure. I didn't say that. I'm just telling you, I'm not as geeked up about winning the last two games as everyone else is after you lost the first two. How is that somehow an indication that they are where they need to be? And let me give you some frame of reference as context. Okay, in 2003, the Red Sox blew the LCS to the Yankees. And we all thought the same thing. They'll never win. They'll never win. They're never going to be good enough. They were going to New York, and they will crap their pants, and that's it. They're not going to be good enough. We all thought the same thing when Grady Little left Pedro into that game. Maybe not at that time, but we all came around to thinking the same thing. Okay? I know you're chuckling over there, Murray. I'm trying to be honest. Because at the time, you know how I felt at the time. So you know what happened the next year? Over the winter, all kinds of drama. The Red Sox had new players, Schilling and Folk. A-Rod went to the Yankees. That whole saga happened. Blah, 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 blah. Regardless, the Red Sox showed up in spring training that year, and you know what they said? I remember this to a man. The Yankees are afraid of us. That's what they said. They believed that. They said, we can beat the Yankees without A-Rod. And then they played them twice in the first few weeks of the season, and they went 6-1 against New York. They were on a mission. That team was intent on making a statement early that they were to be taken seriously and that they were for real. So this, over the weekend in Houston, this wasn't that.
Yeah, they came out meek, but then they showed their mettle and said, you know what? No, we're not going to lay down here. And they won those next two games. Where the way it looked, especially after Friday night and as shaky as Chris Sale looked, Maz, I was like, this team is an absolute fraud. They've cleaned up in the likes of Baltimore and Tampa, and here they are getting their ass kicked by the reigning World Series champions the first couple of games. I gave them no shot, Price, Verlander on Saturday, and if they were able to salvage one game on Sunday night, like, big whoop. That they took two, especially the way that they won Saturday, I was impressed by it. I was.
So, but Murray, they beat Will Harris and something named Charlie Morton.
Well, comeback.
At the end of the day, wins are wins. Okay, and the Astros have a lineup too, Jimmy. It's not just the pitching. But Morton's been one of the best pitchers in the league this year, right? And they to get to Harris, they had to get Verlander out of the game. Saturday, you're not going to get any complaints from me on Saturday. Saturday was a legit win. That's a good, tough win. Michael is in Wilmington. We'll kick it off with him tonight. Michael, what do you got?
Hey, how's it going?
What's on your mind, Michael? Go ahead.
I don't feel great coming out this weekend because 4 out of 5 starters are lefties, and the Astros absolutely dominate left-handed pitching, as it goes back to last postseason. And the only person that shows up against this team is David Price, so I don't feel great.
Okay, so Michael, it's an interesting point. That is odd as it seems. Price feels like the best matchup for you in terms of your best starters. Now, look, Porcello's right-handed. You're talking about the lefties, and Eduardo Rodriguez didn't pitch in this series. Sale, the Sale game, to me, should give you a little cause for concern. Chris Sale now, Murray, what were those stats you had earlier on Chris Sale against winning teams versus losing teams during his career in Boston? I know I'm throwing this at you.
No, I got it right here. So, in teams that are 500 or below, 29 starts, 199 innings, a record of 17-4, and an earned run average of .231.
And this is just with the Red Sox?
Correct. And in 18 starts against teams that are 500 or above, he's pitched 106 innings, the record is 5-9, and the earned run average is .458.
So 5-9, .458 against winning teams.
Correct.
Chris Sale, since he's been with the Red Sox.
And so, now his earned run average this year is in the threes for the first time since he's been a member of this team, too.
I think it's exactly 3.00. Right, I think he actually hit that number. You know, you're right. It's in the threes. I'm not. You know,
but it's on the nose. Yeah.
He hit three on the nose. He did. He hit three on the nose. And in his last two games, his ERA's in the mid sevens. He's had a couple of shaky games here in a row. Has Sale, and so again, I'm just telling you, as a Red Sox follower, there was enough to look at in this series and say, I don't know how different this team really is. You can believe whatever you want. I mean, I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm telling you what I believe. That Saturday game, you should be happy with that Saturday game as a fan. David Price threw the ball well in that game. He was aggressive. That's how Price needs to pitch when he's right. And if that Price shows up in the playoffs, then the Red Sox will be a threat, assuming that everyone else does what they're supposed to do. But the series as a whole, there are a lot of mistakes in it. We're going to start outlining them for you in no particular order when we come back. We will start with the offense, or more specifically, maybe we should say the base running. We'll do that next.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is he doing? Been some of the worst base running I have ever seen. What was he thinking?
It's time for the Baseball Reporter's base running blunders.
Into straightaway center field and caught there by Tony Kemp. Wow. Tagging up is Bogart's throw to third is in time to get him. Xander Bogart's must have been caught in between. An inning that started out with promise for the Red Sox ends with a rocket to center and a great throw to nail the base runner.
And a big-time mistake here by Bogarts. Number one, really poor read. And the second thing is, you never make the third out at third base.
Well, and it must have been a late tag. He initially came off the bag, goes back to tag, and at that point, it's too late. That's why he gets hit at third base.
Tell you what, the Red Sox have made some boneheaded plays on the bases over the last 2 years. This one might have been the number one. This might have been number one on the list. Absolutely brutal, this play last night by Xander Bogarts. Remember, last night it was a 2-1 game at the time in the third inning. 2-1, Bogarts hits a double to left. J.D. Martinez then hits one to deep center field. Bogarts gets hung up between second and third in that. I think he initially thought the ball was going to go for extra bases, so he played it halfway. And then ran back and tried to tag up. And he was probably, there's a great still shot of this somewhere, but he was probably about 20 feet off the bag when the relay man had the ball behind second base.
He's thrown up by a mile with this play. It's embarrassing.
So again, the center fielder last night, I think, was Tony Kemp, right? That's what they said in the highlight. And so the ball was thrown in after the catch to the relay man, who's the shortstop. I'm pretty sure it was Correa. It might have been Altuve. But regardless, it doesn't matter. Bogarts was 20 feet off of second base when the relay man had the ball. He was out easily at third. Yet another base-running mistake by the Red Sox. Another one. So again, potentially cost them a run there. It certainly cost them an out. They had a man in scoring position. Now, they ended up breaking the game open later. But that, coupled with the ball Benintendi didn't field in the left field corner, some things happening in the early part of that game that did make you shake your head and think they're going to blow this. They're going to find a way to lose this game. They didn't. They won it. But overall, I just have a hard time getting too excited about the whole series, the full four games. You want to tell me Saturday was an impressive win? It was. Good win. Very, very good win on Saturday. But overall in the series, you still made a ton of mistakes. You still haven't shown that you can put this team in its place, meaning the Astros. And I say that again, pointing out that these games didn't mean to Houston what they meant to the Red Sox. The Red Sox were the team that lost. Now, maybe they're saving it up for October. But with this team, how can you possibly give them the benefit of the doubt on that right now? Go back to your calls, and Tim, who's in Lowell. Tim, what do you got?
Good afternoon, Tony. A couple of things here. First of all, those games, Murray's right. Those games were very important the last 2 days, and they were important to Houston because they got manhandled by the Yankees. But that's not the reason I called. But those two games were very important wins for them. My issue with you is, why are you trashing Benintendi? I mean, Tony, he's been the best player on the team for the last couple of weeks. I mean, Are you mad at him because, you know, maybe he had, like, more girlfriends by the time he was 14 than you had your whole life? I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. Have you ever met the kid? I don't understand why you're trashing this kid.
No, I haven't met him, and you're probably right about the girlfriend thing. I don't...
Yeah, but that's, hey, you know what, Tony? Don't feel bad, Tony. I'm sure most of us are in the same boat as you on that one. But now, one other quick point. The baseball...
Tim, let me just stop you quickly on Benintendi, okay?
I
respect Benintendi's talent. You've never heard me say the guy sucks as a player. He stinks as a base runner. He needs to get better at that.
Because
the base running has been a disaster. But,
absolutely.
Okay, just something about the guy's attitude doesn't sit right with me. That's all. He just feels like a little too cool for school, a little too cocky for a guy who's never won anything yet, but keep going.
Tony, you never met the guy, so how do you really know what he's like?
It's what I hear.
Well, all right. But one quick, the base running, I could not agree with you more. That was one of the worst base running mistakes you could possibly see, what Bogaerts did last night. And here is the thing. As good a job as Alex Cora is doing this year with this team, Tony, that shows a lack of discipline, the base running mistakes that they make over and over and over again. And a lack of discipline reflects on the manager, Tony.
Okay, so, Tim, I look at it the opposite with the base running. You changed managers. Cora has come in and emphasized it. We had him on the show earlier in the year. We had him on the show in April. And he said he gave the base running in the early part of the season a 1 on a grade of 1 to 10, but that he bumped it up to a 5 after a couple of weeks because they started to get a little bit better. Even then, he was only willing to go to a 5. So Cora clearly has told them we need to be better on the bases. Like, to me, at some point, you've changed managers now and they're still making the same mistakes. So what is it? And to me, it comes down to the stupidity of the base runners. The Red Sox have to make better decisions on the bases. Bogaerts runs into too many outs too, by the way. I have liked Bogaerts as a player. I think it's taken him a little too long to get to this point where he's produced this year the way he has when he's been in there, for the most part. And he was cold there for a while too, but overall, I'm not terribly disappointed with Bogaerts this year, at least not like I have in last year, or the year before that. But the overall... The mistakes they make in the bases, Bogaerts included, way too much. And you know what? I don't think it's on the manager anymore. Ralph is in Cranston.
Hey, guys. Tony, you know, I didn't think this was a gigantic series. I mean, every series when you go on the road, you want to see what you can do. I mean, they won 2 out of 4. It's a feel-good series. I don't think anyone won it. But, you know, when I look at this team and I think of, you know, other teams, are, you know, Houston's probably going to add a reliever. The Yankees, you know, are going to go after a starter. This Red Sox team with the Pedroia thing, Tony, I mean, they let Hanley go. They were expecting, well, but now we got Pedroia back. Now, we don't even know if this is going to be the end of Pedroia as being really a good player and a useful player. This team needs infield defense. It needs another reliever. And I figured they let Hanley go, figuring at some point they're going to pick up some kind of hitter on the waiver wire. The Red Sox don't stop adding to this team as it goes along. I think they're going to fall out of contention. They make too many mistakes. They're lousy on the base paths. As you said, they make mistakes here and there. I am not a Cora fan either, or any of his coaching staff. I'm not impressed with it. But so I think there's going to add some players to this team, or they're going to fall right out of it. That's my impression of the Red Sox.
Okay, Ralph, they're not going to fall out of it. They're too good. Okay, they're too good to fall out of it. So now, might they finish second in the division behind the Yankees? Sure. Although the way the schedule's shaping up, the Yankees having to play all these makeup games is going to help the Red Sox. Doubleheaders are hard to sweep. It really taxes your pitching staff. I think the Yankees have had 7 rainouts already. 7. And so they have 6 doubleheaders now scheduled. I think one of those games is going to be made up on an off day. Now, I've only seen 1 in August or September, but even so, July, June they get 2, July they have 1, August they have 1, so maybe September is another one. They have 2, one in August, 1 in September. But those will catch up to you. They will. All those doubleheaders will catch up with you. So maybe the Red Sox will win the division. And honestly, I don't know. Every team in the division has flaws. So I am not going to sit here and tell you that the Red Sox have more or less than anyone else. Houston has flaws too. I just would like to see a little more killer instinct from that Red Sox team. I just felt like if I were them, I would want to go into Houston looking for blood. And it didn't feel to me like they did that. Now again, the series wasn't a failure. But I'm not going to call it a success when they split. By definition, a split. You kissed your sister. Great. Congratulations. The other thing is some of the flaws that you talked about are still there. The base running's obvious. Another one is in the bullpen. I told you at the end of last week there was a guy to me who may have been the most important player in that series that I wanted to see how he did. He failed miserably. We'll get to him next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get right back to your calls here, and then I want to get to the guy to me who had the worst weekend of any Red Sox in the series against the Astros. But we'll kick it off first with Ryan in a car. Ryan, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. As it relates to the series, I'm indifferent as it translates into how they'll perform in October, but I am surprised that they did split, considering I thought Houston was going to blow doors each and every game. Now, on to Bogaerts yesterday, that play was downright egregious and embarrassing and funny. When I saw the bust in the game...
Okay, Ryan, I got to let you go because the connection's just not good enough. But the base running play by Bogaerts is bad as I've seen. Really? So, look, Bogaerts made, and Alex Rodriguez said this in the broadcast. We played the cut for you in the last segment. It was a bad read and then a bad decision, right? So, in other words, he read the ball as being a hit first, which is why he was playing it halfway. Secondly, he then made the decision to go back and tag up and try to get to third, and he was dead. So, once he misread it, he should have just stayed on second. But then he compounded the mistake and got thrown out on top of it. I mean, it's just as bad as you can get. That was a horrible, horrible base running play. Bill is in Amherst.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good.
I've been listening to you all afternoon about you saying that it didn't mean anything to split the series with the Astros. I mean, what about national TV? What about ESPN? What about Angel Benintendi coming up big again? What about 9-3? I mean, that's a big statement, I think. Where they lost the first two, and then they came back, and they won those last two. I mean, you're just dismissing. I wasn't going to say anything about it, but you've been talking about it all afternoon, so I had to say, finally, that I think that's a bigger statement than you're giving it credit. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so, Bill, again, you're entitled to believe that. I'm just telling you that on Saturday, the Saturday game I give them credit for, because it looked like they were headed for a sweep. You know, they lose the first two. Price is lined up with Verlander. Nobody feels good about that one. And then they fall behind 3-1. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Price give up a run in the first inning of that game, too? Then the home run to Bregman came later. So, again, they fell behind early. It happened all weekend. Yesterday was the only game they got ahead. They scored in the first inning. And then what happened? Porcello gives up a home run to the leadoff man. So it just feels like over and over they keep making the same mistakes against the Astros. Nonetheless, on Saturday, they came back. They came back, and Price got the final 11 guys, and overall, I thought Price threw the ball well. Even the home run against Bregman, it wasn't a horrible pitch. Okay, Bregman did a good job. He turned on it. But a lot of times, you get a weak ground at a third or a flyout on that. So Bregman was on it. Give Bregman credit on that one, too. I thought it was good hitting. Mark is in Peabody. Mark, what do you got?
As regarding the Red Sox poor base running, Did it ever dawn on anybody? Maybe we just don't have any fast guys on the team. I mean, the one guy with the most stolen bases has been out with a strained oblique. You look at the rest of the team, there's no speed.
So, Mark, but this isn't a speed issue, Mark. This is a smart base running issue. First of all, I disagree with you. I think there is some speed. Maybe not. You know, Bogaerts is not slow. Bogaerts isn't slow.
Yeah, but, you know... You look at the rest of the group, you know, you got the mini pander over there at third base, Moreland's a Clydesdale. You know, none of these guys can run the bases. And whatever happened to the art of the bunt? Why so much hit and run? What about throwing some bunting into these tight situations in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning in these games? Can anybody bunt anymore?
Okay, but Mark, that's going down a different road. Let me, with regard to the base runners, you mentioned Devers and Moreland. I'm not picking on those guys. Bogaerts and Benintendi, are they athletic players?
I would say, you know, Bogaerts definitely, I think, more than Benintendi. Absolutely. I don't think he's a fast base runner by any means.
Okay, the word I used was athletic. They're athletic guys. Those guys are athletic guys that can make a read on a ball, should be able to make a read on a ball and make a good decision on the bases. It's not just a speed thing. It's a decision-making thing. And when I see teams run into that many outs on the bases and bad ones, I don't say that they're slow. I mean, sometimes it's a result of being slow, but slow runners usually know they're slow and don't push it. Guys who have some speed tend to be stupid. That's what my issue is. It's one thing to be slow. It's another thing to be stupid. And I feel like they are a stupid base running team. Now, before I get back to your calls, I keep telling you, there was one guy in that series that I really wanted to see because I was starting to come around on him, and I haven't been a big fan since he got to Boston. Okay? And that is Joe Kelly. Okay? Joe Kelly. And this, in part, gets back to something Alex Cora said. You know what? I'll tell you what. Let me stick to Kelly first. Okay? So, Jimmy, we're going to play the Kelly collection here for people. Joe Kelly going into this series to me had been on a roll like you could not believe. Okay? And there was a specific comment that Dave Dombrowski made in a story to The Athletic in the last few weeks that really kind of make my eyes pop open. He was asked about the Red Sox bullpen, and the whole sort of nature of the story is that Dave Dombrowski doesn't think the Red Sox need bullpen help like you and I do. And there's a comment in this story from Dombrowski where he says, of Joe Kelly, and I quote, "I think he's one of the better guys in major league bullpens late in games at this point. I don't know why people don't look at him as that. If you look at his numbers, they're strong. If you look at his stuff, it's strong. We look at him as a premium guy in the late innings." Okay, we look at him as a premium guy. Then I started doing some stat searches last week, and I found that Joe Kelly, since the start of last year, actually might be one of the 10 best relievers in the American League. On paper. On paper. But as we know, sometimes with the Red Sox, those guys out there, you put them into pressure situations in late innings, whether it's in New York or whether it's in Houston, and all of a sudden they pitch a little differently, and suddenly Alex Cora isn't just picking from a bunch of premium guys out there. He's picking from a collection of, like, Jim Murray, what'd you call them?
It's gutless bums. He has to spin the wheel of gutless bums.
Ah, there you go. Go ahead, Jimmy Stewart.
Matt Barnes! Heath Henry! Joe Kelly! And those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high-leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel!
Kelly, Thornburg, Hembry, Barnes.
And today's gutless bum is...
So it was Joe Kelly there on Friday night. He's given three runs.
High fly ball down the left field line. That one headed toward the Crawford boxes and into them for a home run. Carlos Correa, with his second home run in as many nights, makes it 5-3. 2-1. Runner goes. There's a shot high and deep to left center field. Benintendi turning around, and that one is gone. Gattis straightens it out, and the Astros have gotten very comfortable here in the eighth inning.
Okay, so go ahead, Murray.
Well, so it's, you know, I don't trust the guy in any big moment like that. Now, at that point, okay, the Astros already had the lead, but, so you get this home run from Carlos Carrera, and Evan Gattis hits another two-run home run after Kelly walked a guy, and then the game's completely out of hand. And it felt like it was, you know, the Red Sox still could have had a chance to get back into this thing, but after that, poof, it's gone. I don't trust him or anybody else, whether it's Barnes or any of the other guys on that wheel of gutless bums in any big moment in any high leverage situation. So that is still a concern, even though I do think the weekend was a success and they were able to salvage a split. I still don't feel good about the back end of that bullpen.
And Murray, Saturday was just as bad. The overall damage wasn't as bad because it was only one run, but they brought Kelly into a 5-3 game. So after Benintendi hit the home run to put him ahead, Hembry pitched the seventh. Hembry got through it no problem. Actually, Hembry had a good series. I'm starting to think that maybe it's a good matchup for him against the Astros because they get a lot of right-handed batters, and Hembry's a right-on-right guy. So I don't know. Maybe there's a matchup thing the Red Sox can exploit. Again, I need to see it. But Kelly comes into the game. One out. You know what he did? He walked Altuve. And then he ends up giving up, who then stole second, and Gurriel ends up hitting a ball into right field. Now it's 5-4. So Kimbrel ended up coming in, pitching the ninth. They win the game. He gets a save. There you go. You move on. And I've heard people say, why didn't Kimbrel come into that game in the eighth inning? Because the Red Sox, as Dave Dombrowski told us, view Joe Kelly as a premium reliever. So just, I got to get this off my chest, because this is what I mean with Joe Kelly. This is, you know, it's like the Chris Sale numbers Murray was rattling off earlier about you can pitch well against the bad teams, but you can't pitch well against the good ones. Joe Kelly this season, against everyone other than New York and Houston. Okay, other than New York and Houston, Joe Kelly this season, 1.66 ERA, 2.49 walks per nine innings. Anything under three is usually pretty good. Three is very good. Three is an acceptable number for walks per nine. You walk one guy every trip through the order. One walk per three innings. That's usually pretty much how it works. Kelly per nine, 2.49. Very good. And in 21 and two-thirds innings, again, against everyone other than the Yankees and the Astros, 21 and two-thirds, six walks overall. That's 2.49 per nine. A 1.66 ERA, zero home runs. Joe Kelly, seven hits, Joe Kelly. Now against Houston and New York, you know what he's done? Five and two-thirds, seven hits, five runs, six walks, two homers. Only three strikeouts, two homers. So against the other teams, 25 strikeouts, six walks. Against the Yankees and Astros, three strikeouts, six walks. He has a 7.94 ERA against Houston and the Yankees. He's walking almost 10 batters per nine innings against Houston and the Yankees. So it feels to me like Joe Kelly is your classic seventh inning guy who can pitch well against bad teams. But put him in the tight spot against good teams, and he cracks.
But he hadn't given up a run since May 10th, Maz. It was over nine appearances, 8 2/3. He was dominant.
If you can look me straight in the eye and say, anyone, I'm just saying, if you can look me straight in the eye and say that you trust Joe Kelly in like a one-run, two-run game against the best competition, you're a liar. There's no way you really believe that. Any of these guys, they're all mentally fragile. They have the stuff. Matt Barnes, too. But in a one-run, two-run game, they come into the eighth inning. You trust those guys? You're nuts.
I mean, it's just impossible to. It's impossible. And again, you know, Barnes actually gave him a good outing last night. Right? And then they blew the game open. Barnes was pretty good last night. So, and you see it from in flashes from time to time with these guys, but you never see it consistently, which is really what separates the really good relievers from the mediocre ones or the decent ones. And Joe Kelly's a decent reliever. So is Matt Barnes. So is Heath Embry. But none of them are guys you can give the ball to in the eighth inning in New York or in Houston. They're just not.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann.